Blog Talk Radio.
All right, family. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, Georgia. Today, family, is the 29th of August, 2018. We're getting ready to get back into our Father's Word and continue the series, Increased Knowledge. This is part 9. We're going to continue talking about the simultaneous gathering by separation that is spoken about in the Scripture. But you won't know it's spontaneous the same time it's happening, simultaneously gathering by the separation, unless you're looking at things spiritually. So we're going to bring the Scriptures to the Father's Spirit, that the Word disciple what is being spoken about, because we have people right now looking at Revelation as something that has yet to occur when it's happening now. I pray that everyone has been keeping up with the lessons in order, because we're trying to build. Okay, we're trying to build and keep going on with this information, these precepts, the understanding that the Father wanted his people to have. So I pray everybody has been keeping up with the lesson. This is part 9, Increased Knowledge, the Simultaneously Gathering by Separation. We already had part 1 of the Simultaneously Gathering by Separation last night. So if you didn't get a chance, you need to go make sure you go over there and re-listen to it, okay? Because we did have it last night. But we're going to be moving on. We're going to be moving on because when the children of Israel got scattered across the four corners of the earth, he promised that he was going to regather us. But this time, family, when he regathers us, it's by his Spirit. That's why it's so important to understand that the second coming came. And right now, the Word, the Sword, the Spirit is doing the separation between his children, which are the sheep, and the world's children, or Satan's children, which are the goats. So I left off yesterday, and I was going to read out of Hebrews 12, Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read it. There's a lot of things in here, but we're going to read it, and then we're going to do some more precepting here, because you got to know what's going on in the world. 12, I'm going to begin at verse 1. And just read on down, because I need the last portion. But it's good that you hear it all. So open up your Bibles to Hebrews 12. Now, before we get started, we're just going to give our Father thanks and praise. Dear Heavenly Father, we all are coming together in spirit, Father, seeking your Word, your truth, your Spirit. Father, we ask for this understanding by the Spirit as you read your Word. Let me be used as a vessel to read your Word and let the Spirit flow through to give the correct understanding of your Word. And those who hear, let it edify them. Father, we want to give you thanks and praise for Yahushua, the Passover Lamb. He said it's finished, it's done. We want to thank you, Father, for giving us the understanding that he has taken on our sins, and now we have taken off the flesh, and now we are coming back to you spiritually, which is the way you want us to come to you. Father, we allow by your Word all those who are in the sound of my voice to get edified. Your Word says it's supposed to happen, Father. We thank you for that Word. We know that the Word will not come back void. All those either listening now or at a later time, Father, let this penetrate their spirit so that they can hear and they can see. Father, we give you all glory, all honor. Praise your name. By Yahushua's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. All right, let's get started, family. Hebrews 12. You should be reading most of this stuff on your own anyhow, so this is just nothing but a review. Now we're going to precept it a little bit for you. Let's start off with Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Yahushua, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, the horrible punishment, that's all that word means, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of our Father. Now this takes you back, family, to Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. It already happened, okay? It says, for consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Okay, he did not sin, but look what he went through. Okay, so when we go through trials and tribulations, which we're going to go through, the Father is separating us by the Spirit. He says, will I find faith when I return? Because we have the full armor on. And with the full armor, we're able to understand and stick to that truth. It's his truth. We have to have faith that, yeah, we are no longer under the law of Moses. We are under his spiritual law because he did resurrect. So our faith is not the faith of someone who don't know the truth. We know what he went through. We're only righteous because of his righteousness. Okay, family? We depend on him for everything. So it says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Let me get my screen up a little bit. My son, or my children, despise not thou the chastising of the Father, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son, every child, whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastising, the Father deals with you as with children. For what child is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons, not children. Furthermore, we have the fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For verily, for a few days chastening us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his righteousness. Now, no chastising for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed, all your brethren, and set apartness and righteousness, without which no man shall see the Father. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of the Father, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Okay, here we go, family. Pay attention. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated them that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. And he's talking about in the old covenant when the children of Israel want to talk to the Father, he gave them commandments to come by and talk to me. But when they saw all this happening, they got scared. They said, Moses, you talk to them. We don't want to talk to them. That's all he's repeating right here. Okay, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living Father, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the Father, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the just men made perfect. So all the just people who are made perfect, and if you can hear by the Spirit, if you can hear the Father, that includes you. He says, and to Yahushua, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You can go back to Genesis, and it says Abel, the father said his blood was speaking to him. Well, Yahushua's blood is better than that. Okay, that's all this is saying. Now, by the time you get down to verse 25, here's where it gets interesting. Pay attention to what he says. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, and about Moses, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? So we're talking about when Yahushua returned, he said he's going to knock. If anyone hears, they're going to invite him in to sup with him. But when he comes back, and he did come back, don't reject the Spirit. That's the unforgivable sin, family. So he says, see that you refuse him not to speak it. The Spirit is what speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, which was Moses, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Okay, remember John 4, verse 24. It says, the Father is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So see that you refuse him not that speaketh. For if they escape not him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So during this time period in the Old Covenant, when the children of the Most High, he wanted them to draw near to him. But when he made these noises, they got afraid and they ran the other way. When things start getting crazy in your life, you're supposed to run towards the Father, not away from the Father. When trials, tribulation comes your way, this is nothing but chastising. And remember, it's all about your faith. Yahushua said, well, I find faith when I return. So why are you going through the wilderness? Why are you going through trials and tribulation? We read in the New Covenant how they were rejoicing during this time. You can rejoice if you know that the Father's in control. He's in complete control. So everything and anything, he's allowed it. Because there's something in you that needs to be purged. Just like when the children of Israel went through the wilderness 40 years. It was for purging. Anything that was against what the Father said, it had to be purged out. Today, many of us, all we have learned is the flesh, just like them. Ain't nothing new here. So now the Father is starting to talk to us, and he wants to walk with us, but not in flesh. He wants to walk with us and talk with us by Spirit. He's dwelling within us. So at the time that he spake during Moses' time, he shook up everything. He shook up the mountain and the thundering and all this stuff, and the people refused him. The Father says, see that ye refuse him not that speaketh. He once shook the earth, okay? But now he's getting ready to shake not just the heaven, but also the earth, okay? He says, and this word, yet one more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken, they will remain. Now, family, you remember how we went through Ezekiel 37, and at the very end, after the word, the spirit, the word, the spirit came upon the people, the second coming, waking them up. Now they're hearing the word and they're getting stronger because now they're starting to see who's in control. Oh, it's not, it's our Father. The word kept coming to them. He said he came back for you. He's bringing his kingdom with him, and it's not going to come with observation. The world's talking one message, but you're hearing by spirit. You're getting it by spirit. Pretty soon, they got this mighty army. An army has to have on its attire. But this is the attire spoken of in Ephesians chapter 6, this army. And when we read Ephesians chapter 6, it says, stand firm, stand firm. This army from Ezekiel 37 that woke up has to stand firm on the Father's truth, his word, by spirit. So the ones who are standing firm, standing on the Father's truth, not moving a little to the left or a little bit to the right, but they're standing firm on that word they heard. It says, this word yet once more signifies that the removing of those things that are shaken. But if you're standing firm on the truth, I don't care what shakes around you, you will be able to stand firm because you know the Father's in control. I don't care if it looks bad. I don't care if whatever comes your way. Whatever comes your way, if it's threatening to take your mortgage, if they're threatening to fire you, if they're threatening to put you in prison, it doesn't matter what they want to do. Don't go by sight. We walk by faith. Not that these things aren't really happening, but our Father's in control. You're not going to shake me. My Father's in control. A war that I can physically see, because that's not the true enemy. The true enemy is what we cannot see. And the enemy that we can see has another spirit working in it, coming against us, trying to shake us. But we're not going to get shaken, family. We're not going to get shaken because we have the truth. They're looking for riches of this world. We're not looking for that. We're looking for the Father's spiritual wisdom. We're looking for his truth because he is our currency, our faith. That's how we get what we need. Oh, my goodness. My car blew a tire. Oh, well, Father, you know what? You know what I have. You know what I need. But your word says that I'm supposed to come to you because you're the fulfiller of all my needs. So, Father, I'm going to trust in you that somehow, some way, you're going to make this happen. Family, our faith, when we make a prayer to our Father by using what's already in his word, which is the Spirit, he made many promises to us. We bank on that regardless of what we see. We stand faithful to that word. And it's hard. It's very hard. Because many of us we've all just been in the flesh. So this now renewing of the mind to where you have to understand, it doesn't go by what you see. It's what you don't see. The Father spoke everything that is in existence right now from a spiritual location. He is the Father of spirits. There's no higher. When we read the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, it said he was sitting on his throne with all the heavenly hosts. On the right side were the good ones, spirits. On the left was the bad. He's in control. The spirit on the left came out and said, hey, I'm going to go ahead and trick Ahab. I'll be a lying spirit. The Father said, okay, you go at it, and you're going to prevail. When Satan appeared before the Father, and the Father said, have you considered my servant Job? You know, Satan couldn't make a move unless the Father allowed that move. So the Father is going to test your faith. That's what that full armor is. when you keep hearing the word spoken to you, it strengthens you. You're only scared if you don't know if the Father got your back, you know. But his word is clear what he wants you to do. We acknowledge him. We acknowledge him. We give praise to him. We fear him to the point where his word is true and it's not coming back void. So, Father, let me be pleasing in your sight and do what you ask me to do. Let me worship you how you want me to worship you. Let me have brotherly love. Let me have fruit of the Spirit, Father, so I can be pleasing in your sight. Because, family, the Father's going to talk to you. He's either going to talk to you by word, by dream, by vision. When you read the word, sometimes, you know, you could be reading something, and it's like that's what you had prayed for, and that's the answer given to you right there. Well, that's the Father. We don't believe in luck, chance, or any of this nonsense. The Father's in control. If you seek him, if you call on him, he will answer. We just read those scriptures a couple of shows back where it says, before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear them. No, before they call, I will hear them. And while they're yet speaking, I will answer. So he's telling you for sure, you can bank on this. And we have a great cloud of witnesses. All we got to go is read the old covenant and the new covenant. He's the same Father yesterday, tomorrow. So he's letting the people know there's going to be a shaking going on. There's a division that's going to take place. And here's what he says, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth, here's what it means, the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. So he's looking at the world that we're in today. And this is for this time. He's saying, the physical has trumped the spiritual. I'm a spirit, and I'm coming down to this earth, but I'm looking at it. Okay, I got to do some shaking here. I got to remove those physical things and allow those spiritual things to be put back on top. But we have the key with us, which is prayer, seeking our Father's wisdom, doing what is right in his sight, and giving him praise, giving him thanks, glorifying his name, being a light to the Gentiles, having fruit of the Spirit. We're immovable. We're immovable. He said, every weapon formed against us will not prosper. Do you believe that? Because, see, I believe that. I've seen it. When I get ready to do dreams and visions and things like that, which it shouldn't be too long, I'm going to probably get into that. You're going to get a better understanding, because when the Father said, do I have a witness? Yes, I'm a witness within myself. He showed me a lot of these things, and I will go into those. And some stuff I haven't told you, some stuff I told you, but you probably forgot. So we're going to go into that. But it's to move the physical things that want to stay in the flesh. They got to be moved to the side. Okay, he's gathering up his spiritual people. He said, children of the flesh, these are not my children, but the children of the Spirit. So just like anything of the flesh, that is something that is made. That's why when we went to Genesis chapter 1, he made the man from the dust of the ground. By the time you get to chapter 2, there wasn't a man to till the ground. So he took Adam from the dust of the ground like everybody else. But the difference was he put a spirit inside of Adam, and he became a living spirit. He put part of his spirit in Adam. So Adam was in the garden. It's his spiritual location, walking, talking with the Father. He was spiritual. Of course, when he sinned, the flesh was put back on him, and he was kicked out of the garden. I'm telling you, the children of the flesh, the ones that are made, these are not his. They cannot come into the garden. Flesh and blood will not enter into that place. Now, don't think you're going into another existence, but everything is happening right here. We're through our renewing. We're a new creature. Now we got to start understanding it and living it and walking it. We're in the flesh, but we're totally spiritual. And this shouldn't be hard to understand if you understand that our Father is a spirit and he spoke things into existence. We've been going through scripture. I intentionally did that, where you could see how the hosts of heaven will always. Okay, family. So he says, and let me finish it up here. He says, Maria, one more time. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve the Father acceptably, with reverence and righteous fear. For our Father is a consuming fire. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, said the Father. And again, the Father shall judge his people. Now, separating the sheep from the goat. Go to Matthew 24. I'm only going to read so small. I don't even know. I can't see. Let me see if I can make my screen bigger so I can see that number, because I didn't write it down bigger. I normally try to write. The computer really shows very small, family. Okay, I can see it now. Hold up. Okay, that's 29. So separating the sheep from the goat, Matthew 24, I'm going to read verse 29, because this is the verse that is important that I want you to get the understanding from. So if you have your Bibles, you really need to open up. Every time I open my Bible, you should be opening yours. Matthew 20, verse 24, verse 29. That's where I'm going to begin. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Our knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now I'm going to stop there for a second. You need to know what happened upon Yahushua's death. Many people will read it, but they'll overread it. Some people take all these verses about, oh, immediately after the tribulation, those days, the sun's going to be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. They go back, or shall I say really forward, but they're going back to Revelations and trying to figure out something. That's not what this is talking about, family. During the time that Yahushua, through his death, when he overcame the flesh, after he gave up this time, but it went night, right then the heavens shook. Okay, the powers of heaven shook. It's letting us know that immediately after that tribulation, the sun was darkened, the moon did not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. This is when the judgment, because it was after Yahushua. See, we look at time frame in a different way than the Father. It tells us one day for the Father is 1,000 years for us. So keep that in mind. When you go to Revelations, and in Revelations 5, and they show you a lamb that was slain that could open a book, well, that was Yahushua. Don't look at the time frame you're on to the Father's time frame, because we can't compare it. This is letting us know after the tribulations, after the tribulations that Yahushua went through. And that's why I want to stop that word that I read earlier when I said cross. Go look it up. It talks about a horrible punishment.
we talk about our tribulations that is nowhere near what Yahushua went through. I mean, I can cry a little bit too, because I want to say, shoot, they're after me. Every time I turn around, they're trying to take my house. They don't pay me enough money. They want to foreclose on this. They saying I owe money for that. It just never stops. But it's nothing new what Yahushua went through. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. That's when Yahushua was ascending. So actually, you can say, yeah, it's when he was ascending, but let's go. It says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So his word is a word that is everlasting, and it will not come back void. When Yahushua left the frame of the flesh, okay, upon the time people are waiting for a second coming, which he came back, and he told us that in the scriptures. He said, don't, you know, if a houseman, if the owner of a house knew when the thief would come, he would be on watch. Same thing. If you knew when Yahushua is going to come, you'd be waiting and you'd be ready at all times. But because you don't even think he's coming, many people think we're waiting for something to happen. They don't realize he's come. And when he came, he had judgment with him. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. He gives you an example. Here's how it's going to be. And it's like that now because many people don't realize it. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. People are going to be doing the same things they were doing in Noah's time. For as in the days that were before the flood, before the Father comes back, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Everybody has a season to wake up, because if you read about the dry bones, they all didn't wake up at one time, family. The Father says in the dispensation of time, or until the fulfillment of the Gentiles. If you know you're a Gentile, after the scattering, there was a season for everything to happen. But many people aren't looking for what they should be looking for. They're looking for signs. He said no sign would be given except the sign of Jonah. 3 days in the belly of the well, which means, go back spiritually, Yahushua, 3 days, he resurrected. When you start to see the breath come back into these people who, you know, it's almost like a miracle. You're looking, and certain people who you wouldn't even think, but now they're talking right, they're understanding the scripture right, they're seeking the Father. They're hearing the truth. As in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Nobody going to be, everybody waiting for somebody. It's going to be upon them. Now when this word come out, we teach in this word that he didn't came. You can't prepare for it, because if you weren't ready when he came for you, it's like a thief in the night. He already had the judgment books open. We read that in Revelation 5. The only problem is people are believing that Revelation is talking about something that has to happen in the future. No, he set up his kingdom on earth, and how is he doing it? Through us. We are a willing vessel for our Father's purpose. So let me go a little further. He lets you know how it's going to work out. Now, remember I told you the gathering is simultaneous with the scattering? Okay, so two things are happening. Check this out. He said, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I'm going to give you an example. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your father cometh. Either you're going to be like the parable of wheat and tare, where the one that was of the father, he gathered those, the ones who had his spirit, the ones who, when he came, they were ready. He gathered them into his barn, but they were separated from those tares at the proper time, which was the time of harvest. He knew which ones were tares and which ones were wheat. Gather the wheat into my barn, but bundle up those tares and cast them in the fire. Two shall be in the field. One shall be taken, and the other one's going to be left right where they are. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, and the other left. They're not physically going anyplace. But spiritually, if they are doing what is right and hearing from the Father, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego sat in that furnace just walking around. But he said, Nebuchadnezzar said, wait a minute, I see four, but didn't we just toss in three? The Father's Spirit is in you. When I tell everybody that someone had a gun in my face trying to kill me, and then immediately, right before they shot the first bullet, I saw a white light. That was the Father's presence. I felt the bullets go past my ear, and it was warm by my ears. My eyes were wide open. I was looking at the person who was going to kill me, but not one bullet landed. And as soon as the white light went away, I'm still looking at the person holding the gun. Family. We're not superheroes. We're not going to claim to be superheroes, but what we are the Father's. We are a new creature, because the fact is, if we would have stayed in the flesh, I should have no head. But because I am the Father's, no weapon formed against me will prosper, whether in the spiritual trying to come at me or in the physical. Oh, they want to take my house away. Well, I don't think these people know. They're talking about sending me letters talking about I owe for a student loan 20 years ago. They ain't read the Father's law even when we were doing the 7 years, let the debt go. This world don't know that. So you know what I'm going to do? They don't realize that my Father holds the key. And any door he opened, they can't shut. And if he shut a door, they can't open it. They can't open it. I'm going to stand firm on that truth. I'm not going to shake. Look, he did not give us a spirit of confusion or fear. I'm not going to accept those spirits. He gave us the spirit of a sound mind. He said his peace can be surpassing when it comes to us if we pray for those things. He said that he is not the author of confusion, but a sound mind. We can bank on his word. We stand firm on his word. We don't shake and move. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. He says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your father hath doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such as an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his father hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his father, when he cometh, shall find doing so. And verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, oh, the father delayed his coming. And that's what they're telling you right now, because they're making you wait for something. He here. Oh, Hey, Fabian, I know y'all getting this. I know. Let me make my screen just a little smaller because it's kind of large. But I'm going to read that again. You know, I'm going to read that again. It says, I'm at verse, let's see. I don't even know. I can't read these little prints. But let me. I'm going to read it to you. He says like this. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your father cometh. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his father hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his father, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my father delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the father of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portions with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Oh, family, I tell you. We know that he's going to be coming with the sword. He said, I didn't come to bring peace on this earth, but a sword. Now, that sword is the word. It is the spirit, okay? And he's doing the dividing. When we go to Hebrews 4:12, it reads, for the word of the Father is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. His word, the spirit. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the mind and spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So he's going to be separating by the spirit. The spirit is what's going to go in there in us, and he's taking a look at your mind, what you really thought when you did an act. Well, even some people, they don't know how to present themselves. Their heart is good, but how they did it is wrong. The Father's only going to be able to tell that. We would get mad at somebody like that. Well, how he going to talk to me like that? And that person's intent may have never been to insult you, but you take it that way. Look, be quick to listen and slow to anger. The Father going to go and divide right up in you and look and take a look at what was your motives. Are you doing something that is righteous by him? You won't be able to lie. Like, you could lie to me. You could open your mouth, and I'll believe you because I'm supposed to take you at your word. But the Father knows your true thought of why you did certain things. You know, he's in control. He made you. He made up me. He made all of us. So we see that it says, for the word of the Father is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So when we go to Revelation 1, I want to go there just for a quick second. I'm not going to read it all, but when you get to verse 16, it says, and he had, let me go back. I'm going to go back to verse, oh, it's so small. Why can't I see these words? I think it's 13, but just go, when you go to Revelation 1, I'm going to read, I don't know if this is verse 10. I can't see these little letters. They got them really, really small. I'm going to start off by reading like this. I'm going to just read it all. That way I ain't got to guess where I'm reading from because it's very, very small print. Okay, Revelation 1, verse 1. The revelation of Yahushua. So this is the revealing or the disclosure of Yahushua, which the Father gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of the Father and of the testimony of Yahushua and of all things that he saw. Now remember, he's in a spiritual state here getting revelations. And revelations are just a disclosure, revealing something that everybody needs to understand. It says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So not only are you going to be blessed if you could read it, but if you can hear the words of this prophecy. Because I said, why is it that we all got the same book, but everybody got a different denomination of church or understanding of what is right in the scripture? The Father says, I'm a spirit. True worshipers must, not can, maybe, must worship me in spirit and truth. He's a spirit. We are spirits. But if you don't know that we don't come from day six creation, we're day seven creation. That was given the spirit. All right. So it says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Yahushua, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto Yahushua and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. Behold, he cometh with clouds. And these are that great cloud of witnesses. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. We're seated in heavenly places with him. Okay, before the foundation of the earth, the world. He's already opened the book, but he's coming now with those spiritual bodies. That in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. We, our spiritual bodies, were there. He brought them back with us. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And see means perceive, understand. People are looking to physically see. Go back. When Paul was able to really see, scales dropped off his eyes. That's why he, unlike the rest of them, was seeing on a spiritual understanding level. Remember when Yahushua was fixing the man's eyes up? First time Yahushua put the mud in his eye, the man said, I see men as trees. So he put some more in his eye. Then he saw the people. Paul went from the physical to the spiritual. He saw the spirit. The scales fell off his eyes. He can now see the spiritual. He can now get that understanding. That's what you're supposed to get out of it. But the man who had the mud put in his eyes, the first thing he saw was when Yahushua had put the mud in his eyes, this blind man, so he could see, he saw the spiritual. He saw men as trees. The second time he rubbed it, then he went back to the physical. So remember, we don't want to go backwards. We want to go forward. We want the scales to be falling off our eyes so that we can see what these words are saying. He says, behold, Yahushua cometh with clouds. And every eye means you're going to perceive him, not physically see him. And they, and let's go here. Let me just stop for a second. Remember when I read to you guys when Yahushua, during the second coming, when he came back, did Mary then recognize him, thought he was a gardener, but it was him. When he went with the, he was walking right by the disciples, they didn't recognize him. They thought it was a stranger. So we're not talking about you won't physically see anything, but you're going to understand, you're going to perceive. When you have a spirit inside of you talking to you, giving you the correct understanding, giving you what you prayed for by answer in a prayer, you start to perceive, wait a minute. When things, not natural, but supernatural, the things that science is natural, because we can count on those things to have a designated starting point. Okay, gravity, the heavier it is, it falls down quicker. But now if what should be falling down now falls upward, Satan will do his evil works, but the Father will do his. You know, the Father will move on behalf of his. You got to start thinking spiritual. Don't restrain our Father to this flesh world family. He tell you he is spirit. Okay. He says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, hallelujah. This did happen, family, when he came back in the book of Acts. Because remember what Peter said, you think that the ones that are speaking by the Father's Spirit, you want to say they're drunk. No, this is what was prophesied by Joel. So he starts reading about how the people would be able to get dreams, get vision, prophesy, which means have an understanding to speak the truth of the word. This would be happening. And they were speaking to every man in his own language, which was something supernatural. They were speaking, you had people from all over, but they were hearing what the prophet or the disciples said in their own language. It was supernatural. But he was talking about to hear again. Remember when Yahushua opened up the book of Isaiah? He told them that this day the scriptures are fulfilled in your hearing. They didn't want to hear. They were like the children of Israel when they went to the mountain to talk to the Father. When he starts shaking stuff up, they got scared. They wanted to go a different way. They didn't want to hear it. Well, now we're in the time period where don't run away because nobody's getting out of nothing. Everything's happening on this earth. But just because you see something coming doesn't mean you got to believe in that, because our Father is able to protect you, like he protected the children of Israel, okay? He's able to do things that we can't physically. What's impossible for man is possible with our Father. That's an easy way of saying it. So let's continue to go on. It says, this is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Yahushua who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto Yahushua and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, hallelujah. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Father, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Yahushua, was in the isles that is called Patmos for the word of the Father and for the testimony of Yahushua. I was in the Spirit on the Father's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and set it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephratus and unto Smyrna. All right. Yeah, Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. So you know he's seeing Yahushua after he resurrected. When he was walking the earth, his eyes got red because he was drinking wine. They said he's a wine bibber, but this is a flame of fire. This is something different he's seeing. This is spiritual. It says, and his feet likened to fine brass, as if they were burnt in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. So out of Yahushua's mouth, that went the two-edged sword. Remember Hebrews 4:12, for the word of our Father is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. So we're talking about the word. It tells us the sword of the Spirit. For the word of our Father is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the spirit and the mind, the joint and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Family, John is telling you that we're not looking at a physical man. We're looking at a spiritual man. When he spiritually came back, he said, it's expedient that I go so that the comforter could come upon us. He said, if I go, I will send you another comforter. He said, I will come. So go back to those lessons we did on the second coming. You got to understand, it's by Yahushua's spirit. That's why these words are spiritual. That's why when we pray in the spirit, all we're doing is using his words. Don't look at it as, look at it as something spiritual. You know, it's funny because many people will believe in witchcraft and all these other little demonic, satanic groups. All they're doing is what really you're supposed to do. They serve their father who's a spirit too. He's the prince of the power of the air. And they go back and read out of his word to have things manifest for them. Well, our Father wants us to pray in the spirit, which means we're going to use the words that he already promised us, so we know it's guaranteed. But it's a spiritual word because it comes from the Father of spirits. So when we pray his words, Father, your word says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You will cut off every lying tongue. You will put me in a place before my enemies. Oh, family, the word is spiritual. Know that. That is what separates the wicked from those who hear. Because they're going to be hearing by the spirit now. The understanding, when we open this book, you're going to get an understanding by the Spirit. Not everybody was meant to get this understanding, but he told you, I didn't come to bring peace but the sword. He came to bring his Spirit to do the separating. Now, the wicked will do this. Let me go here. The wicked will do this. In Matthew 12, verses 22 to 28, it says, this is in the book of Matthews. This was brought unto him one possessed with the devil. So Yahushua was getting ready to get some people got to heal. He said, then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. And Yahushua healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub and the prince of the devils. And Yahushua knew their thoughts. See, he's going spiritually. He's not dealing with a pretense is what we all see. Many people put on a pretense or a show. Oh, they care about us. Oh, they want this for us. And the world and the people of the Most High fall for it. Not everybody's the father. Get that through your head. The word declares so. Not everybody is his. He showed you in the beginning there were people who were in the world already. He kept us apart from that. Even the wicked that came from Yahushua, and that would be, when I say Yahushua, that lineage, Cain. He still wasn't in the father's lineage because his spirit wasn't right. Neither was Ishmael's spirit right. Neither was Esau's spirit right. We're dealing with spiritual things, not things of the flesh. We know by right Cain and Abel were Adam's sons. But you think when our father told Abraham, kill thy son, thy only son, he knew that out of Abraham's loins came Isaac first and then Jacob. Oh, excuse me, then Ishmael first and then Isaac. But he wasn't talking about the fleshly children. He was talking about the spiritual children, the ones who had the seed, the spirit, the seed, his seed, the spirit. He was talking about Isaac. He knew. So right here, keep it all spiritual when we read these scriptures. I'm going to go through it again. Then was bought unto him one that was possessed, with a devil, blind and dumb. Yahushua healed him insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Yahushua knew their thoughts, he perceived, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought desolation, and every city or a house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? So I'm gonna stop there for a second. When you see people separating, causing division, let's go to Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not the Father, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. What you're seeing is they're trying to do a separation. This is not by the Father, because the Father is the only one who can do that separation, and it won't be by sight, baby. They will tell you, hey, you got to wear these clothes. You got to distinguish yourself from everybody else in the world. You got to come to this meeting. We got to wear this apparel. Women, take the perms out your head. Be a concubine. Men, direct your house and put your foot down on it. You got to cover that woman. Churchianity want to tell you it's Sunday we got to worship the Father. They will tell you about Passovers and communions and all kind of little things. The Father said, that's not the separation. Oh, you a Christian. Oh, you a Catholic. Oh, you a Buddhist. That's not the separation. Ooh, we live in this little gated community. See, you separating yourself, you have made the spiritual arm of our Father into a flesh arm. You chose to read this word knowing that you didn't know the word and separate. You chose that America was Babylon and decided to transport your little rusty busty to Egypt or Israel. You chose that. Father never chose that. He lets you know. But he said it's going to be to them as a thief in the night, or like when Noah entered the ark. And then they were shocked when it all was done. He said, mark them which caused division. So we're going to go back to Matthew 12. They just trying to tell Yahushua that this fellow did not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Yahushua knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. how shall then his kingdom stand? His kingdom ain't standing because Yahushua already has the power. We have to realize what he's saying. The kingdom of the Most High comes without observation because it's a spiritual thing that's done in this earth. When Yahushua come back to you and knock on that door and he sups with you, he not only sups with you alone, he brings the Father, he brings heaven, and he brings your spiritual bodies back. So you get a quickening by the spirit body. Now, after we keep hearing the word spoken to us, it gets strengthened and strengthened and strengthened. Pretty soon, you're going to see the stones which were knocked down Jerusalem. You're going to see them being built back up by the Father's Spirit. You're going to see this mighty army stand up right here on this earth. Certain people are trying to do things that when the Father comes back to them, remember the judgment book has been opened. That's not what I said to do. They don't want to do what's right. Other people are trapped, pits and things like that. If they turn from the sinful ways and ask the Father's forgiveness, he will bring them back into the sheepfold. And that's what he wants, family. But he got certain people, they know better. When we did the parable of the tenantmen, it said that after they beat the servants who went back to get the gain for the master, then they looked at Yahushua and said, oh, this is the master's son. This is Yahushua. They knew what they were doing. The scribes and the Pharisees who sat in Moses' seat, they knew. Not all the scribes and the Pharisees were bad, family. Don't get it twisted. Read the scripture. But it's by the Spirit that the Father's going to do that separation. So know what is being seen in this earth. There's a lot of shaking going on. I have way more scripture than this, but that's all I'm going to give. That's all I'm going to give. Now, let me just see. All right. I'm going to end it right there, family. And like I said, I will get into talking about dreams and visions and more about this separation going on, because really that is what's going on with when it says that trials and tribulations are going to come upon you. The trials that come upon you is the faith building. You got a spirit, but you got to get purged out of you all the foolishness, all the ways of this world, because all his ways are not your ways. His ways are spiritual, and he wants this a righteous kingdom built on this earth, not that old nonsense we thought was truth. No, now when you're coming to the truth of his word, think spiritual. Ask him for the revelation, because he's building everything on this earth, and we are only willing vessels fitted for our master's use. So by his spirit, he will reveal to you things that are done that others can't get, but you know they're being done. You pray to the Father. And if there was no way for you to get that, the Father can give you that understanding and reveal that to you, what is coming against you, what is trying to be done against you, what it is he needs you to do, what he expects from you if you've gone astray. But by his Spirit, he's going to talk you and walk you through everything. It's not that hard a thing. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. Like I said, I don't want to go too deep in that today. But that's the end of increased knowledge. Okay, I'm not going to be doing any more to the series. We're going to leave it off at 9, and I pray that we can get into speaking about dreams, visions, and things like that, because that is the understanding of Acts, as well as Joel, who prophesied that your young men will have dreams, your old men, and, you know, the visions and all that. I want to get into that a little bit, because that's one thing the Father's been working with me on. So I definitely want to share it with our family, because we need to pay attention to our dreams. We need to pay attention when the Spirit speaks. Okay? Sometimes we think it's our own mind, and it's not. It's the Father giving us that understanding. Okay, family, I'm going to leave it right there. Hey, have a blessed day. Continue to pray for me. I'll be praying for you. Shabbat shalom.